does he do? He might go all the way. He gives it away. It's a chance. It'll be a goal. He can. Come at the moment. Come at the champion.
This is the Swanscast Extra, the number one Sydney Swans fans weekend preview podcast. With me tonight is Swanscast regular Joshua Ma. In this week's episode, we preview the Swans' fifth round clash against the Tigers at Docklands on Saturday night. We discuss selections, what we're looking forward to, matchups and key points, and give the weekend forecast ahead. So Josh, the last time we played the Tigers, it was a pretty close game, but they controlled it for the most part, and Jack Rearwalt absolutely killed us with 16 marks and 3 goals. There's no Jack Rearwalt, there's a lot of players missing for them, but they still managed to scrap a win against Port Adelaide. Are you looking forward to the game? Do you think we can finally get it and win our second match of the season?
No, I don't think we can, based on current form, but if there is a game that we can win, this is the one it's going to be. We will never get a better chance at the Tigers. They are never going to be as vulnerable as they are right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a unique time to play them because they haven't had any injury crisis over the last sort of 20 years. Certainly while they've been contending, they almost had no injuries in their premiership year as it was. The players that are missing, you got Rearwalt missing, you got Cochin missing, you've got Rance missing. And I can't remember who the fourth player is who's missing. So they've got 4 out, I believe. So they've got a lot of players out. But look, we're coming to you on a Wednesday. There's a reason for that. It is just for this episode only because unfortunately a lot of us are unavailable on Thursday due to Easter and family commitments. It's Easter weekend, everybody. Woo! Have fun. And there is finally football on Good Friday. Some people will not like that fact, but it's here. It's done. Get with it. Top of the agenda. Today's show, Wednesday only. We also had a new Swanscast podcast launch today. It's called the Swanscast Interview Series with Fans. The very first guest was Caroline Cummins. It was a superb episode. She is a delight to talk to. Give it a listen. It is on Wooshka on one of our different playlists. It is discoverable in iTunes. It is also on our Patreon page. And it's linked on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Also, the talk about Lance Franklin. It is hyperbole at its most extreme. So we've got Tony Shaw and Caroline Wilson drumming up a bit of noise, just stoking the fire, suggesting that the Swans should get rid of Lance Franklin, or at least Franklin should leave the Swans if he wants to pursue a genuine last tilt at a premiership flag. He's 32, he's passed halfway on his contract, and now he's actually earning 1.4 this year, 1.5 over the next two, and 1 million in his final year in 2012. So it's not like he's on the cheap. So if anyone wants him, I mean, if we want to take some salary cap out and pressure off the team, sure, you know, take him. But we want him in the team. We want to keep him. We need him. He's our best player, and he's certainly still one of the best players in the competition. Joshua, it's pretty crazy just how much talk there is about Franklin at the moment, isn't there?
It's a really bizarre thing to be getting discussed this early in the season, and it seems to have come from an offhand comment by Tony Shaw. He wasn't saying, you know, we should trade him to Collingwood. That's not what he was saying. What he was saying is that if Franklin wanted a chance to win another premiership, then it's probably not going to be with the Swans. And it was around that whole discussion about whether or not City's premiership window is closed or not. I think it's closed. And I think most people agree that it probably is closed for the moment. But it certainly wasn't a trade Lance Franklin speech. But that seems to have been what they've turned it into in the days since.
Yes, and then we've also had Caroline Wilson talk about Gary Rong when he went on the footy show on Sunday morning, and he talked about the fact that he was on eggshells at the Swans for the last year. I mean, these are things we already knew. Dan Hannabry's kind of stirred the pot a bit at his kind of last couple of weeks at Sydney, and then afterwards he's basically said it's a relief to actually change and go somewhere new. It's a new experience and something he's really looking forward to. And he didn't hesitate in giving the Swans a bit of a kick in the guts on the way out either, so it's a bit interesting. And especially, I would say Gary Rowan, what he said was quite poignant in that he goes to a new club and he's told he can actually have the freedom to make mistakes. Just go and play how you want to play. So it kind of makes you wonder what kind of messages he was getting at the Swans.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I think we'll find out over the next few months. I would say the media's got a little bit of a sniff on something at the moment and they'll start digging. certainly when I heard the Gary Rowan comments, I sort of put that down to he would feel like he's on eggshells with everything in his personal life and apparently being told he was possibly up on the trade table. But his player manager has since said that that was never actually communicated to Gary Rowan by the club. So nobody really knows the story. And I would say we're going to find out more. Medi's just got a sniff and it's about to start coming out.
Yeah, and there is a bit of discussion. I was listening to Triple M the other day and there was talk about the fact that there is actually going to be more information coming out in that there is, where there is smoke, there is a fire, and there's a little bit of a fire in this instance. This also backs into the conversations that we've had in recent times. We did the Swanscast live on Saturday where we talked about the facilities, the lack thereof, and the fact that some of the players are training in fire escape stairs or the stairs of the SCG because there's nowhere else to train. We talked a bit about the state of the team on our Monday podcast, and now it's just more and more and more. It's all just stacked on top. So as I said, where there's smoke, there's fire, and I think this is kind of turning into one that they can't really put out easily.
Yep. Yeah, there's going to be some interesting press releases and conferences coming over the next weeks and months, I think. So the Swannies mightn't be exciting on the field at the moment, but there's some excitement happening off the field for all the wrong reasons, it seems.
Well, not for us as fans. I don't think there's any excitement off the field for us as fans. I think it's quite miserable, actually, but it's exciting for everyone else in the AFL. I think they can't, you know, get enough of this. They're lapping it up as much as they can.
It's certainly going to be something that gets used as a big stick to beat us up with into the future, that's for sure.
Oh, people have never held back from beating us up. They've used anything and everything they possibly could. So this is no difference to that. This is going to be another instance of a stick that was a centimetre long, turned into a foot long, turned into a metre long, and they're just going to beat us with it. But look, enough about the Franklin stuff. He's staying. That's it. It would take a minor miracle to move him out of the Swans. And by minor miracle, I'm talking seven-figure minor miracle. You know, some serious money behind it. But as we said earlier, it is Wednesday. So we normally have our team selections and we discuss what happened with the team selections going forward. But in tonight's episode, we don't have that information because that's tomorrow. So what we did instead was we sent a question out to our social media followers. And the question was, Josh, if you could make changes to the team, what would you change? And this is with regards to the Richmond game coming up. So we got some responses from social media. So Jason from Twitter, he said, Sam Reed looked good playing behind the ball in patches last week. So let's keep him down back. That's okay. I think that's not a bad idea, Josh, because when he was in defence, he marked the ball. When he was up forward, he kind of dropped it.
Yeah, which makes you wonder why, you know, why is the ball more slippery at one end of the field than the other, which makes me wonder whether it's between his ears, to be honest.
Yeah.
But Nick from Twitter, he sent us a message. He said, instead of being able to text at three-quarter time what song we want played, we can text and vote for substitutions or game strategy. Well,
because it looked like Nick didn't have one. I love it. Good on you, Nick.
I've got nothing. I like it. It's like Australian Idol meets the AFL.
Exactly. All right, so Jonathan from Twitter, he said, Reed to the back line to get some confidence back, Cameron into the ruck, and Sinclair to full forward to provide some variety and targets inside 50. Oh, we talked about this. I love it too. We talked about this like ad nauseum on our latest podcast. We said it has to happen. What else have you got, Josh?
Amy from Facebook, I would swap a tall for a small. We are coming up against Richmond, who tended to be small and quick.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, it's true. Though I think Port showed us a bit of a blueprint this week by playing a little bit of keepings off. They could control whether the smalls actually get a hold of the ball or not. Port really should have won that game. Just they kept kicking it to Dylan Grimes in the last quarter.
Yeah, he was amazing.
I'm not against it, though.
Chris from Facebook, he says, I would like to see McInerney get a few more weeks. I would like to see Rowbottom get a good run soon. We've talked about this like a lot, and we both agree, Josh. I think I can speak for you on this one. We both think that Rowbottom should come in. And I agree with Chris, McInerney should stay in. To be honest, there are other players who are not performing who don't really deserve the place in the team at the moment.
No, yeah, I agree. I think my gut feeling is they're going to take McInerney out, and they shouldn't, considering what the team did to him last week.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure they're going to take McInerney out. And if they do, they'll put Rowbottom in. But McInerney deserves another go. Can't be good for his development getting pulled out after that game.
Yeah, exactly. And do you have another response from social media?
I do. Ash from Facebook. At this point, the Pelican has to play every game to learn his craft, even if he's getting his bum kicked. Worth giving Rose 4 to 5 games to see if he can cut it.
It is kind of getting to that part of the season, isn't it?
The problem with Rose, right? The problem with Rose is that we've never given him a solid run. Yeah, his disposal by foot's absolutely garbage, but he lacks for confidence when he's in the senior team. So unless we give him a dozen games in a row, we're never really going to know what Rose was or will be.
We played Dean Towers for 50 games. We gave Dan Robinson a fair shake of it. We gave Jordan Foote like 4 or 5 games in a row. We even gave one game to Jack Hiscox, and he looked completely not at the level within like 30 seconds of his debut game.
And then we delisted him like 3 months later.
Exactly. If we're giving games to these spuds, why aren't we giving them to someone who's absolutely killing it in the reserve league?
Yeah, look, I got some questions about whether he can deal with the AFL level of intensity, having less time and space, but we're never going to really know what James Rose is unless we play him for a dozen games, I think.
And he's never going to be able to develop that. Until he plays.
Not in the NAFL. He won't in the NAFL. As for the Pelican, I argued the same thing a couple of weeks ago. He's not going to play on any power forwards in the NAFL. And I've got some questions about where our coaching is as far as you know, developing key position players. So, I agree. We're just going to have to play him and play him into the player that we think he can be. I just don't think he's going to get that in the NAFL.
Yeah, I just wonder if there's actually the coaching there to help develop him. That's my real question. But look, those are our social media responses. So thank you everyone who responded. It was an absolute pleasure reading all that out. So we're going to talk a little bit about what we would like to see, and then we're going to give you our guesses on what we think the Swans would do. So Josh, I'll go first. What I would like to see is I'd like to see McInerney stay in, and I'd like to see Cameron and Rowbottom brought in. I think it's important to bring back Darcy Cameron because Sinclair's, he got his ass handed to him last week. And whether or not he was sick or not, he looked injured. He actually didn't look fit. Not sick, unfit, but actually like physically unfit. So it's important to get a bit of a chop out there. And Rowbottom has been killing it in the NAFL. So I think that Cameron and Rowbottom will come in, and I think McInerney will probably go back through the reserves. And I think maybe either someone like Nick Blakey or George Hewitt will be dropped. So my guess will probably be Rowbottom and Cameron in for Blakey and McInerney. Josh, who would you like to see?
I'm looking forward to James Rowbottom, which is who we spoke about earlier this week. I think they'll take McInerney out and put Rowbottom in. I'd like to see McInerney get another game. I thought last week we did him a disservice for his debut. I'd like to see Darcy Cameron come in, and they would have to take out a Nick Blakey type for that.
Yep.
What I would actually like to see was that I would like to see Rowbottom come in for Hewitt.
Yes.
Hewitt's not doing well as a half forward or as a tagger at the moment. He's either unfit or he's down at confidence. I think he's the perfect candidate to go back to the NAFL and get his form back. We know what Hewitt is and what he can be, but he's not any of those things at the moment.
No.
So I'd actually like to bring Rowbottom in for Hewitt and play him as an on-baller.
Yeah, exactly. I would say Hewitt's form is about as bad as his debut season. That's how much he's regressed since last year, and he was really good for us last year. Speaking of what I think the Swans will do, I think the only change that they will make will be Cameron coming in for McInerney. I think that'll be it, because I think after last week, they should have at least come to the realization by now that they cannot just do it with one ruck. Almost every other team in the league is going in with two rucks, so they're going to have to do it. They can't keep playing the lone ruck.
That's right, and I think Darcy Cameron is more than capable of going up against Toby Nankervis, and we should use Sinkers as a marking forward.
Yeah.
Because Sinkers isn't a ruckman. Sinkers is a forward who can play ruck.
Yes, exactly.
We've been playing him the other way around for 2 seasons now, so I'd prefer Cameron up against Nankervis and Sinkers down in the forward line.
History between the sides. So, taking out that massive win the Swans had a couple of years ago, they've only won 2 from the last 6 games. Richmond won the last game they played at Docklands by 26 points, and they also lead the head-to-head at Docklands 3-2. Now, the Swans, in their first 4 games, they've also equaled their 2006 and 2014 seasons. Back then, they had a very impressive and very deep list. This year is very different. So this is not a 2017 repeat. This is potentially more like a 2009 or a 2001, 2000 kind of situation where they have some good talent, but they have a lot of developing talent in the background as well. So it's going to be quite interesting to see how they approach this match. Josh?
Yeah, look, I don't know how they're going to approach this match. Their team list will be changing every week. And I mean, even at this stage, Riewoldt is still an outside chance to play this week as well.
Wow,
so
yeah.
Yeah, they're saying there's an outside chance he'll be back from his fractured wrist, which is going to play hell with our backline if they've got Riewoldt and Lynch in at the same time, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I'm just going to wait until the team list comes out. I'm not going to make too many assumptions on what they're going to field, I think.
Yeah, so the last time they played, the Swans were kind of in it. I mean, they had chances, but they kicked to Riewoldt something fierce, and Riewoldt played one of his career best games. He was unstoppable. But despite all that, we trailed by just 10 points at three-quarter time. Now, I remember watching this somewhere in America. I can't exactly remember where in America I was watching it, but I know that me and Mrs. Bloggs were pulling our hairs out, just going, stop kicking it to Jack. What are you doing, boys? Just stop kicking it. But they controlled the match. And the stats, they don't lie, Josh. They had 38 more disposals, 43 more marks, and 11 more marks inside 50, which is absolutely phenomenal. Despite Rance being regarded as the best defender in the league, Franklin kicked 4 goals. But Riewoldt took the chocolates with 16 marks, 7 of them contested, 23 disposals, and 3 goals. The ruck head-to-head was pretty interesting, but Nankivis got the lollies in that one, 41-39 hitouts. And I thought Nankivis was the better player out of those two on the night. And Nankivis usually has Sinclair's number anyway. He's very physical and very aggressive.
Yeah, no, that's right. But despite all that, it felt like a bit of an almost game from us as well, that despite the fact we made a lot of mistakes, we were largely competitive, and the score really only blew out in the last few minutes when, you know, they realised they couldn't peg it back. With the exception of a bit of lack of polish around some things, we were still a reasonable chance to win that game with about 10 minutes to go. So it wasn't a bad match, but it was a real wasted opportunity.
Yeah, look, we had 15 more tackles, which showed we were chasing quite a lot. They had 18 more inside 50s, which is basically pretty standard for the Swans. We had 8 more clearances, and we had 9 more contested possessions. But really, like, they controlled the game so effortlessly and so convincingly by having more disposals and more marks, and they were just able to chip the ball around. The way they played was very Hawthorn-like. They just kept the ball off. They went wide. They attacked the wings. They got it to their forwards who could mark. Like, Riewoldt was just marking it everywhere on the ground. We couldn't stop him. Rampy was absolutely slaughtered that night. They played one of the games of the season, and, you know, we looked pretty ordinary by the end of the game.
Yeah, we did. We also turned the ball over a lot coming out of defence.
Yeah.
In the middle of the field on the half-back line as well. So it wasn't a great game, despite the fact we played like a bunch of busted crabs for chunks of it. We were still in with a chance to win it. And I think people felt afterwards that, yeah, we lost and we kind of played poorly in patches, but we were thereabouts. Little did we know, I think that was the start of our large downturn towards the back end of last season.
Yeah, so we played Geelong the following week, and that was a dreadful first half, 3-2 to 4-11. And then we're up, I think we're actually up all, no, I think scores were level at three-quarter time, and they managed to just scrap home a win. Then there was a North Melbourne game, which Aaliyah kicked the winning goal, and then, of course, there was the capitulation against the Gold Coast. So that Richmond game, which was our first game after the bye, really preceded our, I'd say, down runner form, which we won 1 from 5 games.
I can't believe you mentioned that Gold Coast game. That will never be mentioned ever again, do you hear me? Cool, matchups.
Yes, matchups. So I will go first on this one. I think we agreed on this one. Luke Parker versus Dustin Martin. I don't think George Hewitt is in any kind of form at the moment to take him, so it's got to be head-to-head Parker and Martin. And this is going to be crucial, I think, to deciding the match, because Martin is an amazing player and Luke Parker really needs to pick up some form.
Yep, so actually that's going to be interesting if they do get matched up, because both of them are a bit of out of touch at the moment. But I expect Dusty to be spewing fire this week after getting suspended. So if Parker's not up to it, they're going to have to take him off Dusty real quick, because Dusty, I think he's going to have one for the ages this week just to prove everyone wrong.
And the thing is, apart from George Hewitt and Parker, we don't have anyone else to go with him. I can't think of anyone else in our side that can possibly go with him.
Well, we probably don't, but I'd actually back Harry Cunningham in to have a go on him.
Yeah, it's possible.
I'd back Harry to have a go on him.
I know you've got a bit of Cunningham love at the moment, but you know, we won't go into that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, what can I say? He's a redhead, and there's something about redheads. Anyway, so
your matchup, it's
Dylan Grimes on Lance Franklin. So
if we don't kick it high into the forward line, Franklin should kill him. He really should go on top big time.
And I don't know if anyone watched the last quarter of the Port Tigers game from last week, but Dylan Grimes was phenomenal. It kind of helped that Port kicked the ball into him every single time they went into their forward 50.
Yep.
Much like we kicked the ball to Riewoldt last time we played him as well.
Or literally any of their forwards.
Or literally any of their forwards.
Literally any player from any team we play.
We We had plenty of forwards last time we played the Tigers, just yep. they all played for the Tigers.
Exactly.
So Grimes will play on Franklin. Grimes is their main defender down back at the moment, seeing that Rancy Pants Dance is out at the moment yep. with his ACL injury. If Franklin's going to have a game where he comes back to form, this needs to be it.
Yep.
It's got to be this one, because despite the fact they're missing a few, the Tigers still have a fair amount of firepower. And, you know, when we're only scoring 75 points a game,
yeah, exactly.
it's not that hard to score more than us. So Grimes on Franklin, and Franklin needs to take the chocolates in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about that before the Melbourne game, the fact that we're not scoring, but Melbourne weren't scoring either. And we started off with a bang and we looked like we were going to run away with it, but they stopped us from scoring and that was it. I think we only scored 3 more goals after halfway through the second quarter.
Yeah, 3 goals, 4, I think, from that point on.
Yeah, so...
And the second matchup I've got is Alir on Lynch.
Alir's
our tallest defender at the moment. Lynch is their tallest forward at the moment. I hope to God Rewalt's not back. It's funny that both of these guys are good overhead and neither of them are good at getting ground balls. So it's a pretty good matchup in that regard. So Alir's going to play on Tommy Lynch.
I thought he was pretty good last week, to be honest, Alir. Apart from the fact that Bruce kicked 2 first quarter goals, I thought he was our best defender by some margin.
Yeah, and Bruce isn't a spud either. And no. and Alir gives up a lot of body size.
He actually dropped a lot of weight, Bruce, and looked really good too, Bruce.
Yeah, he did. He did. And I don't know, I wish we had made a play for him last year.
Yes.
He was one of the people who was on my, I wouldn't mind getting him into some red and white, but...
could have got him for nothing.
Yeah, no, Alir's going to play on Lynch.
Yeah.
We could have, but we didn't.
We didn't, no. It's the if and buts and would and could, but we didn't. Key point, mm-hmm. I'll kick it off. Now... We talked about this offline before last year's matchup, and I know it's been a kind of a running theme for us over the last 18 months, but we cannot let Richmond have the ball uncontested. Whenever we let teams have the ball uncontested, they just kill us on the outside. They will carve us up if we give them the ball and we let them have the ball uncontested. We have to make it a scrap. It's the only way we're actually going to win this is if we can scrap it out.
And conversely, they don't handle the uncontested ball movement either. It takes their smalls out of the game and they yep. can't run onto it. So we said a couple of weeks ago, we need to play like Hawthorn. Well,
this is it.
We need to play like Hawthorn. This yep. is it. This is our chance.
Yep, exactly. Now, Josh, your key point?
The centre clearance situation can't be overstated enough. We've been terrible at it this year. We will not get the Tigers at a weaker moment than they are right now.
Yep.
Dusty's back, that's true. No Cochin is a big deal.
Yes.
If we can take Dusty out or limit his impact, we have a solid chance of winning it in the middle. But we got to win it.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, they've still got some decent quality players running through there, but I wholeheartedly agree with that. We did okay last week, actually, despite the fact that Gorn and Pruce dominated Sinclair in the first half. We were killing them in center clearances. Then they monstered us for the last 2.5 quarters. That's where the game really was won and lost. That they were able to get on top in the center, win the center clearances, win the contested possessions. The ball started going their way. All the luck went their way, but they made it all themselves. We stopped running and they took off with it. We cannot do that again this week because Richmond, they're not a high scoring team, but they can kick a high score if we let them. So we just can't let them.
Yep. True. Very true.
All right, predictions for the weekend ahead. I'll kick things off. I have Nankervis will beat the Sinclair Darcy Cameron combination in the ruck. I think good old Tobes here will take the lollies and he'll clean up and he'll enjoy himself a pizza after the match.
Oh, yeah. He mightn't be taller than a lot of other ruckmen, but something about his body shape just lets him
monster.
Bully people out of the way.
he's
a monster.
All right, Josh. Your prediction, please.
Dane Beams. I hate the way Dane Beams left the Lions. I thought he did him a disservice, despite
yes,
the fact they'd yes. given him a lot over a few years. So
front-ended
my
as well.
Prediction is front-ended, took
yep.
all the money, then racked off.
Yep.
So my prediction is that not only will Dane Beams get booed like the bejeebers up at the G, but he'll have a crappy game and Lachie Neal will be best on ground.
Love it. I am looking forward to that and I honestly hope that happens. It kind of, you had a look at the Gold Coast and Brisbane at the same time that they lost 2 good players. Gary Ablett was engineering a move for a couple of years and Dane Beams just went, nah, don't want to be here anymore. I'm going. See you later. So the Dane Beam ones was a shock, but both clubs got stiffed and I would love nothing more to see Brisbane give Collingwood a bit of a flogging. That would be my dream weekend.
Yeah, so would I.
I could cop a Swans loss if the Lions just flogged the Pies. So I'm on the Lions bandwagon this year.
That could be our consolation prize.
Yes, absolutely. Got to support the Northern teams. Not GWS, screw yep. them, but the Northern teams. Now, weekend forecast ahead, Josh. Can you kick us off with your sure thing?
I said earlier that Franklin needs to get the chocolates over Grimes, and people have been questioning Franklin's form this week. So this week, Franklin is going to prove everyone wrong, and he's going to kick 5 goals.
Love it. We really need him to kick 5 goals. We really need him to kick more than 1 goal. It is critical that he gets on top of Grimes. And really, as you said earlier, there is no better opportunity or time for him to do it. All right, my sure thing is Brisbane Lions will beat Collingwood. I know I just talked about it, but that is my sure thing. I reckon they are going to come out, they're going to breathe fire, and they are just going to want to smash him from the get-go. So come on, Lions. Do it for me and my sure thing.
Yeah, the Lions are a little bit disappointed with how they went last week. But then again, it was Essendon. Mate, Tip and Woody, oh my God, that guy, when he either completely goes missing or he comes out and destroys people. That was an amazing game.
That was one of the best games, one of the best individual performances. It was, that guy is a complete and utter freak. He can do amazing things on a football field. 7 goals and he absolutely destroyed them. So yeah, they aren't playing Tip and Woody this week, so I think they're in with a chance. Now, most at stake, Josh?
Most at stake. This is controversial.
We'll see.
It's not. I think considering the media that's been around the last few days about Franklin and the stuff Gary Rowan and stuff said, I think Longmire's got a fair bit at stake this week. If we go through the season with these second half fade-outs occurring regularly, I think he'll be under quite a bit of pressure by the end of the year. And it's not just because of the on-field performance. It'll be this stuff that's getting talked about around the club's off-field issues and stuff as well. So Johnny's contract's up for renewal at the end of next year. And I think he's got a bit at stake at the moment. So watch this space.
Yeah, look, it would do the Swans a bit of a disservice if they don't come out and say, look, we're kind of looking to rebuild. But I agree, like, there has been a lot of criticism from a lot of parts for quite a few years now over his inability, or what people suggest or think is his inability to change on match day. And there's been a lot of accusations that he's a poor match day coach, but I don't think that's a bad one. I think he could be possibly at stake if we don't perform well at some point during the season.
A part of the problem with the speculation too is that the club's very good at keeping issues in-house.
Yeah.
But at some stage, they really need to come out and make a public statement. And I think this is one of the things that they're going to have to start making statements over. The Lance Franklin thing, and maybe address some of the rumours about there being a rift between the play group and the coaching staff. So I think it's time the Swannies come out and address some of this stuff.
It does seem like it is affecting both the club off-field and on-field, because some of those performances already this season, they suggest that the players aren't quite 100% there. But speaking of some of the players whose performances have basically dropped off the edge of a cliff, my most stake for this week is George Hewitt. Another bad game, and he will need to be dropped. His first 4 games have been some of the worst games I've seen him play. He has had no impact at all in his last 3 games, like zero impact. I think he's averaging around about 10 or 11 disposals. So he has fallen to well below half of his stats, or at least averages from last year. So he really needs to pick up and he really needs to lift up.
Absolutely agree. And come on, Georgie, we know you can do it.
We know you can do it. I mean, you finished 5th in the Bob Skilton medal, so you can do it. You've done it before. We need a massive lift. Now, my doomsday scenario is another third quarter effort like last week will lead to calls for Longmire to go, which is a bit like your most at stake. As I said, only a couple minutes ago, there have been a lot of calls and a lot of criticism that potentially John Longmire isn't the right choice, that he inherited a really, really good list from Paul Ruse and kind of floundered his opportunity. He didn't quite make the most of it. So I think if the Swans have another shocking effort at any point during the game, I think there's going to be those calls and those jeers are just going to get louder from the supporter base and from the fans in general.
My doomsday scenario is that if we lose this week and we end up going 1 win, 4 losses, we will have blown our best chance before the bye to get a second win on the board for the season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's not bad, actually, because we have looked at the fixture ahead, and with players not quite fit, we've got Naismith out till God knows when. We've got McVeigh out. We may not even see him play, and there's players lacking fitness, just general fitness throughout the squad, that with the fixture we have, it's going to be really hard to see in the next win.
Yeah, the only bright spot at the moment is that Menzel is apparently 2 to 3 weeks off. So, I mean, but I don't think Menzel's going to change our fortunes because he doesn't put any defensive pressure on. He never has.
No.
And we don't have the kind of forwards we need to bring the ball to ground so Menzel can go to work. So,
yeah, exactly. I just wondered whether or not it's been a case of play the unfit players, play them into fitness, and we'll just take the results as they are.
Yeah.
But it has been a bit perplexing because the same things have been said at all of the press conferences. You know, we lacked effort, we lacked hardness, you know, you can't win a game off a quarter of football, and they've been literally the same every single week. So yeah, it's I think another poor performance, and it's come home to roost because it's pretty much season over, lights out. Never say never. We did it in 2017, but we've got to keep in mind we played a grand final in 2016 and we probably should have won it if it wasn't for some shocking umpiring and some constant injury issues that we had throughout the finals and even in the grand final itself. I mean, we had Franklin and Hanbury off at various points for some serious injuries. Hanbury had surgery afterwards and Franklin had surgery afterwards. So it's you know, the seasons are completely and utterly different.
Yeah, and Parker was playing with a wrecked medial ligament as exactly. well, I believe, in that game.
And Kennedy
should have been on the field.
Kennedy also had some knee issues as well, so we did very well considering.
That and that, just before we finish up, that game, that 2016 grand final, that game is the one reason why I think some of the criticisms for John Longmire has been unfounded, because if we got a fair shake with the officials that day, we win that game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We win that game. And then Longmire's got two premierships.
Yeah.
He's a two-time premiership coach. So it's hard to look past the stuff that's starting to pop up in the media if the club doesn't say anything to its fan base.
Yeah, exactly. And look, you'll never see me jump on the Longmire out bandwagon. It's never going to happen. I mean, like, you look at another sport overseas in England, like the Arsene Wenger argument that lasted for 15 years, fire him or not fire him. Now, I'm not going to be as cynical or as, you know, blind faith following the leader on a situation like that. I'm a bit of a realist. I kind of look, say, you know, maybe some things can improve. I'm not at that point yet. Longmire is still our best option going forward. We don't have any other options. So there are no other options. So I think he's going to stay. But you're not going to see me on the Longmire out bandwagon. Certainly not for a long time.
No, I think he's going to stay as well. I would just like to... I would just wish the club would come out and address it in the media. And if there are any issues that are related to what has come out in the media, that they do an internal review and sort it out. Because we all know that there's other things than just incompetence that causes the issues. Maybe it's a difference in, you know, communication between different generations. Maybe it's reporting structures around the coaching staff. Who knows? So it's not, I think, going to the sack horse thing.
Exactly.
Far too premature. But there's a lot of other things that should get looked at before anyone even approaches that topic. So...
Now, speaking of like list changes, I know we've talked about that briefly, but this is the one amazing thing. I put it up on Facebook today, and it is a list of all the players that have debuted since 2014. We are looking at a whopping 27 players. This is 27 new players that have debuted in the last 4 years. So 2019, we have two already. We're expecting Rowbottom to come in. 2008, we had five. 2017, we had six. 2016, we had six. 2015, we had five. And 2014, we had four. Now, Fox Footy put up a stat during the weekend broadcast, which compared Sydney to Brisbane, and they said that over a certain period of time, Sydney has matched Brisbane for players that have debuted. This is during the round three broadcast. Sydney now has the most players debuted since 2015, or certainly 2016. It is absolutely phenomenal how many players the Swans have debuted. They have actually debuted 19 players since the start of the 2016 season, and we still have most of them on our list. So of the 24 players that have debuted since 2015, we still have 19, and at least half of those, if not two-thirds, are regular senior players.
Sounds like a rebuilding team.
It is. We just need the club to come out and say what it is.
Exactly. Just be honest with us, guys.
Yep.
We can take it.
Well, that's it, Josh, for tonight's episode. So look, thank you for coming on again. It's been a pleasure having you on.
Always like showing up.
Now, next week, we will be back to our regular Thursday night schedule. Our next podcast will be recorded on Monday. We'll have Heather Quinlan on Monday's show. So, look, until next time, go Swans.
Go Swannies.